I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. It's time now for our Africa update. Over the weekend, rebels looted and destroyed an African Union base in Darfur. At least 10 African peacekeepers were killed, and many more are still missing. The slaughter of Darfuris by government-backed rebels has been formally termed a genocide. Hundreds of thousands of people have died in attacks or from disease. So now 7,000 African troops patrol the region. The United Nations and the African Union will together send about 26,000 more troops to Darfur by next year. It will be the world's largest peacekeeping force. On this week's Africa Update, we'll bring you more stories, including a massive food crisis in Somalia and President Bush's war of words with Zimbabwean leader Robert Mugabe. Joining me now, Bill Fletcher, the former president of Trans-Africa Forum. Hi, Bill.
Hey. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you. I want to talk about the thousands of Somalis continuing to flee the capital, Mogadishu. There's been fighting, political insecurity, drought. Add to that, the United Nations Emergency Coordinator John Holmes says that the conditions in Somalia have eclipsed those in Darfur and Chad as the most pressing African humanitarian crisis. First of all, do you agree with that assessment?
I do agree with the assessment. And I think that, unfortunately, Somalia has not gotten the attention that it needs to. And I think part of that actually is that the Bush administration is culpable in the disaster that we see unfolding.
What do you mean by that?
The situation in Somalia has been volatile for quite a long time, obviously. But when the Bush administration encouraged Ethiopia to invade, it completely destabilized what had been a situation that was moving towards some level of stability. The entry of the Ethiopian troops was believed by people in the Bush administration to be a way of eliminating the Islamic courts and entering into a period where the transition national government would achieve some dominance over the country. It has turned out to be absolutely a disaster and the wrong call.
The U.S. says, though, that it did not urge Ethiopia to invade.
They've said a lot of things. There's no indication to believe that they're telling the truth. I mean, when you look at the immediate aftermath of the invasion, that is, when it looked like the Ethiopians were routing the Union of Islamic Courts, there was very active support by the Bush administration. You then link that to the current efforts by the Bush administration to demonize the Eritreans for the support that they're giving to the opposition forces. And I just think that the position of the Bush administration lacks any credibility.
So because refugees have fled to remote areas of the country, the aid agencies are having a hard time getting supplies to them. Peter Smurden, a spokesperson for the World Food Program, described the situation there.
There are others who live in very poor twig huts covered with cloth, not even waterproof material, just cloth. Some of them have very, very harrowing tales of what happened in Mogadishu. I spoke to a 19-year-old woman who fled 3 weeks ago with 12 members of her family, all of them younger than herself, after her mother was killed by mortars that hit their home near a police station in northern Mogadishu.
So how have the environmental issues affected this?
You have a drought that coincides with the invasion. And on top of that, you have piracy. Off the coast of Somalia, you have pirate ships that are intercepting craft that are bringing supplies, food, etc., to the people. So you have these factors that are coming together that are worsening the situation.
I want to move on to the UN General Assembly gathered in New York. President Bush and Zimbabwean leader Robert Mugabe each spoke, and President Bush criticized the Zimbabwean government as tyrannical and an assault on its people.
In Zimbabwe, ordinary citizens suffer under a tyrannical regime. The government has cracked down on peaceful calls for reform and forced millions to flee their homeland. The behavior of the Mugabe regime is an assault on its people and an affront to the principles of the Universal Declaration. The United Nations must insist on change in Harare, and must insist for the freedom of the people of Zimbabwe.
A day later, the Zimbabwean president criticized President Bush's human rights records and policies on Iraq.
He has much to atone for and very little to lecture us on the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. His hands drip with innocent blood of many nationalities, and today with the blood of the Iraqis. but he still kills. He kills in Iraq, he kills in Afghanistan. And this is supposed to be our master on human rights.
So, Bill, what do you make of this war of words?
President Mugabe is a very shrewd politician who has made it clear that he wishes to remain in office as long as possible. And the difficulty that President Bush finds himself in is that he lacks the credibility to challenge President Mugabe. I mean, when you look at the situation, particularly with Iraq, President Mugabe holds us up in the court of global public opinion and says, as he just did, what right does this person have to tell me anything when we can point to A, B, and C?
Let's back up a little bit. We've watched Zimbabwe's economy just nosedive after the president, Mugabe, began to seize white-owned farmland. Now, among the many factors is what happened to that farmland, if it was subsequently farmed or if it was given out to cronies. And is race the issue here, or are there other aspects that we can point to for the decline of the country's economy?
The economy begins to erode much earlier than that, when in fact President Mugabe was following the dictates of the International Monetary Fund and World Bank with structural adjustment. In pursuing that path, he antagonized broad sections of his population who then started to rise and challenge him, including challenging constitutional reforms he was proposing. In the face of this defeat, President Mugabe, who up until that point had had a close working relationship with the white farmers, then joined hands with those who had been demanding a land redistribution and moved against the white farmers in a very, very calculated move in order to secure support for his continued stay in office. And that it is, in fact, the case that the cronies, that his close allies, were some of the chief beneficiaries of this redistribution. This has been very problematic for Zimbabwe. There needed to be land redistribution in Zimbabwe, just as there does in South Africa. The question is, how is it done? And who benefits?
So, Bill, what's the end game here? Is there going to be a regional kind of effort to deal with Zimbabwe from South Africa and other nations?
There already is. In fact, President Mugabe just recently praised South African President Mbeki for helping to work a deal between his party, ZANU-PF, and the Movement for Democratic Change, where the Movement for Democratic Change has agreed to certain constitutional reforms, and there looks like there will be an election in March.
All right, Bill, I want to move on to another topic. The Spanish government has started airing TV, print, and radio ads urging Africans not to attempt the journey to their country. Thousands of African immigrants are risking their lives every year to try to cross to Spain, most from West Africa. So these TV ads started airing in Senegal and star the popular Senegalese singer Youssou N'Dour. Are these ads a humanitarian outreach or a nice way of telling Africans we don't want you in Spain, or both?
I would actually say that they're largely the latter. That is, saying that you're not wanted in Spain. And they're fruitless. I mean, they will not succeed. It's just as if here in the United States, when Mexicans are warned that they could face death and starvation crossing the Southwest to get into the United States, the reality is that there is such great desperation that people are willing to take extraordinary steps in order to get to a better life.
Well, Bill, thanks a lot.
My pleasure.
Bill Fletcher is the former president of Trans-Africa Forum. He spoke with us from NPR's Washington, D.C. headquarters.